The Providence Rider, written by Robert R. McCammon and read by Eduardo Ballerini.
Part 1. The Grey Kingdom. Chapter 1. The crab that scuttled amid rocks in the liquid dark knew nothing beyond its shell. Born from what? Struggling toward where? It knew not. It tasted the cold currents, and within them the essence of flesh to be consumed, and so it changed its course to the direction of that call, and labored slowly through the muck toward its prey. Over more rocks again, into crevices and cracks, sliding down and clambering up in its sideways gait, its claws thrusting here and there as was the nature of the crustacean. On its passage over an oyster bed, the crab's presence sent a tremor across the field of plate-sized shells, as if in their moist, senseless dreaming the mollusks felt the shadow of nightmare where no shadow could be. The crab went on, and whatever small panic had roused the oysters beyond their state of somnolence died in an instant, and life between the shells continued as before. Whither it traveled, the crab stirred whorls of mud beneath its claws. The hard-backed and determined dweller did not know the full moon painted silver light upon the surface of New York's harbor, or that the month was February and the year 1703, or that lamps glowed in the windows of the sturdy houses and well-seasoned taverns of Manhattan on a Saturday night, or that a cold wind from the northwest ruffled its roof. It knew only that it smelled something good to eat in this night-black and muddy morass spread out before it, and so it went on hungrily, and one might say clumsily, without forethought or plan. Therefore, when the mud beneath it opened up, and tentacles sprouted forth, and what appeared to be mud shuddered with voracious delight, who was to blame but itself? When the tentacles wrapped around the crab and flipped it over, and the beak of the octopus began to gnaw into the underbelly, what thought flashed like a scent of dead herring through the crustacean's nerves? For truly, the crab struggled to escape, but of chance for this there was none. In bits and pieces the crab began to come apart, to lose itself to biting beak and impartial sea, and as the smaller fish darted in to seize these little floating shreds of meat, the octopus pulled its prey closer, like a jealous lover, and squeezed itself down into a hole where two rocks kissed. Thus, very soon, the last of the crab was down in an even darker place than before, and so farewell to the solitary traveler. Having completed its meal, the octopus sat in its hole. It was old and slow, and in its own way it seethed and fumed against the indignities that time had laid upon it. But it had been lucky to feast so well. Very soon, though, the feelings of hunger began gripping its innards again. So it pulled itself from its crusty den, tentacle by tentacle, and ventured forth upon the battlefield once more. And drifting hither and yon like a speckled cloud, it searched for a nice plain of mud and weeds to sink itself into. There it would wait for the next hapless denizen of the deep to cross its path, and woe to the crabs and small fish of the night. The octopus, dedicated to its own progress and appetite, floated past a cluster of rocks upon which was jammed the rusted remains of an anchor, torn from a Dutch ship in a storm many years before. The creature whose home and refuge these rocks and anchor had become immediately woke from its stupor, and sensing the presence of food and a tingle of its inner ear, thrust its tail from side to side and propelled itself outward. Thus the grouper's mouth seized the bulbous head of its prey. As the alarm of black ink jetted forth, far too late, the octopus was pulled into the grouper's maw and crushed by the heavy tooth plates within. The flailing tentacles were ingested in a gulp. It was such a clean dinner that not a shred was left for the little beggars.